Also been a time of apostasy. The scripture calls this period we live in a time of a great
falling away.
Amen. Not falling to God, but a falling away. Amen. Tonight, we just want to deal with what we should be in Christ.
Right.
Amen. We can't give an account for anyone else. We can't give an account for what any other church is doing. But our accountability has to be to God.
Yep.
Amen. The scripture says in Joel, he said, it's time for those that are weak. Amen. It's time for those that have been a battering board for the adversary. It's time for us to beat our plowshares and the swords, to beat our tuning hook and the spears. He said, it's time for the weak to say they are.
Oh.
I said, it's time for the weak. To say they are, amen. Daniel said, they that know that God shall be strong and that they shall do exploits. If you know God, you got to be strong. How can you know the Lord tonight? Amen. Paul said, I want to know him. Now, we're not talking about, you know, well, I know God is real and I believe God. Paul wanted an intimate relationship with God. He said that I may know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his being made to follow along to. He said, if by any means I may attain unto the resurrection of the. You know, our whole purpose in coming to church and being saved is that one day we want to hear him say, come by. Lord, come on, people, amen. And the challenge for those that are in church is to not, if you're weak, don't stay weak. Amen. It's time to be strong. And in the book of Isaiah, chapter 35, it talks about lifting up those feeble hands and the weak knees. Amen. It's time for the church to be strong. Amen. Not strong in what we can do. But our strength has to be in God. We want to be strong in what God can do. Because it's not by my might. Amen. It's not by my will. It's not by my desire. For it's not by might nor by power. But it's by his spirit, saith the Lord. And I like what Paul said. You know, we get so mixed up today. We think, you know, you got to be such a eloquent speaker. When you get up here, you gotta see all the things in the right order and everything has to just flow so pretty. Paul said, my speech and my preaching was not in enticing words of man's wisdom. Amen. It's not about trying to be so cute and so politically right. You know, I don't have no DDs, MDs, PhDs, and all those other D's behind my name. Amen. The only thing I have behind my name is J-E-S. You don't like that J-E-S-R-S. Amen. But Paul said, my preaching was not in the enticing main words of man's wisdom, but it was in demonstration of the spirit and of power. That our faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but what? In the power of God. Amen. That's why the songwriter said, without God, I can do. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And this is how we're going to ask you to stand for our scripture reading, which will be taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. And I prepare, you know, when I prepare, I always prepare two messages, and then when I prepare the two messages, I prepare like 6 or 7 other messages. You know, that's how God's word is, you know, you just go and then as you're preparing, because it's more important to be led by God's spirit than our spirit. You know, and as I was preparing, it was just, the word of God is, as the scripture said, pass, finding out. Amen. The more you study God's word, amen, the more you get in the place of God, you find out God's word is amazing. I said God's word is
amazing.
Amen. How many of you tonight can say, I got joy down in my soul, just like God? I said, I got joy down in mine, just like God. Bible said, I heard one of the late great bishops. Amen. He was preaching, and one of the things that he said in his preaching, he said, as good as God has been to us, how do you have to pump praise out of people? He said, as good as God has been to us and all the ways he made, how do you have to come to church and time and talk people to praise the Lord? Amen. We have to have a praise in our lips. Amen. We have a step for how good God has been to us. Amen. When I look around and I see all that's happening in the church world, it used to be you have to look at the world. But now you can look in the church, unfortunately. So much is happening. Amen. I can just say thank God. Because that could have been me. Yeah. It's a whole lot of stuff going on. That could have been you. But thank God for his grace. Amen. Because you can say, there go I, but by God. Hallelujah. Amen. Verse 1 reads, it is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as is not much, so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. Amen. Hold on. All right. He said, wait, even the Gentiles have a little more morality than that. He's not writing to the world. He's not writing to the unsaved. He's writing to the church. It's time for the week to say I'm strong. Amen. Now, even though it says father's wife, because it didn't say mother, we know that had to be his stepmother, okay? Verse 2 reads, and ye are puffed up. Wait a minute. He said, now, you got all this stuff going on, and you got a nerve to be proud in your sin? And you got a nerve to be proud about this? Now, he said, it's commonly reported that everybody knew it. And then, so it wasn't something that was undercover, something that was hid. This was something that was known, and in the church, they had a nerve to be proud. He said, have not rather mourned that he that has done this deed might be taken away from among you. For verily, as absent in the body, but present in the spirit, have judged already, as though I were present, concerning him that has done this deed, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. When ye are gathered together, come on. Where you gonna gather at? He said, now when you gonna come together? Amen. Now, he said, it's commonly reported that everybody knows the mess that's going on. Amen. He said, and you have a nerve to be hiding as though you are proud and don't know anything. He said, but when you come together, and my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. That's why we need the Lord. To deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Your glory is not good. He said, don't spread this kind of poison. That's not good. Amen. It's bad. Know ye not that a leaveneth. Hold on. You may be seated. May the Lord add a blessing to his word. Tonight we're dealing with that is time for the week. Amen. I don't know how you were when you came in church. Amen. I don't know what you experienced all week long. But now it's time for the week to say I'm strong. Amen. It takes effort. Amen. As Joel said, you got to beat those power shares in the sword. You got to put forth some effort. It's not going to happen all by itself. You must put forth effort so that you're not no longer the weakest He said, know ye not that a one-week person, amen, one person that falters along the way, one person if not what they ought to be in Christ, will affect the whole lot. So tonight, our spiritual responsibility, now we got a whole lot of natural responsibilities, but our spiritual responsibility is not to be the weakest link. Amen. It's time for the weak. Forget all of those excuses. It's time for the weak to say I'm strong. Amen. Paul said, go back to verse 1 for a minute. He said, now, the issue that's going on in the church, and this is no reflection of things that's going on around here, so don't make that connection. That's not the connection. The connection is not for out there, it's for in. Amen. Before you go there, go to verse. Don't go outside of these four walls. We're dealing with Agape Apostolic Church of Deliverance Saints. Amen. So many times when we come to church, we start applying the word everywhere else. Amen. It's time for us to get right. It's time for us to no longer be weak. It's time for us to be what we ought to be in Christ. They that know. How many of you know the Lord? How many of you know the Lord more than just a knowledge of Him, but in a personal way? They that know that God shall be, He didn't say you might be strong. Amen. If you know the Lord shall be strong, and then after you're strong, you're gonna do something with that strength. Amen. So many of us have allowed the devil to use us as a battering ram and beat us in the corner, and we don't even have the gumption or enough strength to lift our eyes to God's holy hill. From whence cometh thy help. Things get bad and we wallow in that condition. Amen. But it's time for the weak to stand strong. So Paul said, for what have I to do to judge them that are? It does us no good to clean up the outside and the inside is still a mess. We need to clean up home. Amen. We need to purpose. In Agape, I will not be the weakest link. Amen. He said, do not ye judge them that are. Tonight, we're dealing with what's within. We're dealing with us. Amen. We're dealing with what we need to do to become strong. To no longer be the what? Weakest link. That's a program. But we ain't talking about that kind of, that ain't important. Because every chain will break at the what? If you have a rope, you can tie it as many times as you want. But it will always break where the twine is the weakest. Tonight, in Christ. Now, we want to deal with the world and everything else, it's all right. We're talking about in Christ, what we ought to be in Christ. Amen. There's no jelly back, wishy-washy, tissue, paper, saints, like Jesus. Paul said, many are the affliction of the, you don't have to be messing up to have trouble. Many are the affliction of, but thank God, He delivers them out of, amen. Somebody said, I got some alms. Hallelujah. God said He will deliver you out of. Amen. Many may be your afflictions. It's time to be strong. Stop allowing circumstances to push you around. Stop allowing whatever the test is to push you around. It's time for the weak to say I'm strong. Go back to verse 1 for a minute. I'm going to go through this real fast because somebody told me they got to leave at a certain time. And I get discouraged when people start walking out on me. It's like, you know what I'm saying? So I'm going to speed this up. It says, it is reported commonly It's a known issue in the church. Amen. It's reported. It's not something that's undercover. It's not something that's done in secret. Even though the Bible says there's nothing covered that shall not be revealed, there's nothing hid that shall not be. No. It's not in undercover. It's not hid. It's reported. But the Corinthian church didn't have enough God conscious, God governed mind to straighten out a mess. Amen? The mess that we want to work out is our own mess. You know, it's easy when you are judging others. The old saying, if you live in a glass house, don't what? Now, can y'all talk back to me? I'd be like the preacher said, I wish I had a what kind of church? Praying church. Amen. But if you live in a glass house, you don't throw stones. Amen. In other words, if you got some issues in your life, don't worry about everybody else. Amen. It's time to clean up your own. Confucius said, why are you complaining about the snow that's on your neighbor's roof and you didn't even clean off your own steps? Amen? What it all means is time to clean it up. Amen. Let's go to Psalms 51 for a second. Go to Psalms 51. We'll come back to this later if time permits. Let's go to Psalm 51. It's time to clean up our own front porch. It's time to clean up our own house. Psalm 51, we'll start off with verse 1. This is someone that had grown weak, but now they're saying they're strong. Verse 1 read, I'll start here. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thine. He said, Lord, I want you to do what? Blot out. In other words, make it real simple for you. All that you've done wrong is all on the blackboard. Everybody can see it and everybody knows it. David said, Lord, I want you to take the eraser and clean it up for me. Not because I deserve it, but because of your tender mercy and because of your loving kindness. Lord, I was wrong. Lord, I messed up. He said, but can you blot it out? In other words, Lord, cast it into the sea of forgetfulness. Verse 2 reads, wash me. Don't do a half job. God, I want to be clean. Lord, I want to be what you would have me to be. He said, Lord, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. David said, you know, part of the issue was me. It wasn't anybody else, Lord. It was me. The iniquity was I planned and I connived. Iniquity is when you try to, when you do things in a way to try and hide it from God. He said, Lord, first, clean up my motives. It does me no good to come to church. It does me no good to present myself in the congregation of the righteous if my motives are wrong. So, Lord, the first thing I need you to do for me is clean up my motives. He says, Lord, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Verse 3, he said, against. So many times, we come to church worried about everybody else. It's all about God. He said, Lord, it's against thee and thee only that I've sinned and done this great transgression. He said, for I acknowledge my transgression and my sin cannot be hid. From who? God. To clean it up, we have to start with who? You can't clean it up with man. You gotta clean it up first with God. Verse 5. We're going backwards. We all know how shifting iniquity and sin did. My mother can see me. He said, but lo, behold, God desireth to be clean, to be strong. And little leaven with leaven to what?
Hold on.
Lord, God desireth truth.
Yes.
Amen. Not a lie. God desireth truth. And the hidden part thou shalt yet desire truth in the what? Inward parts, what nobody can see but David was interested in what everybody else would see. If I'm going to be strong, if I'm going to be what God has me to be, I have to work on the things that only God can see. He said, thou desire truth in the what? Inward parts. Amen. He said, in the hidden parts thou shalt make me to know. So God desired truth, man.
In the inward parts.
Now let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. We're going to jump around a little, but God wants the truth to be where?
Inside.
A lot of people have truth that they resonate on the outside. Amen. But if you could just wash that covering away. There's no truth on the inward parts. Amen. Go down, I believe it's verse, go down to verse 11. The feast, not with the what?
Old leaven.
We're working on the inward part. We're working on the part that nobody can see but God. Amen. Salvation is all about God. So David said, Lord, I want to be clean on the inside first. Not with the old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and leaven always carried within the thought of sin. Amen. Leaven always has to deal with sin. And leaven is really what we would call today, they were dealing with what would be yeast. Okay, that's the reflection. You throw yeast in the bread, it doesn't just do the one little part you do it, it does the what? Oh, wow. So he says, not with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the no sin. Amen. Without the unleavened bread of what? And truth. Not just truth. A lot of times we tell the truth because we are out there, but we are not sincere in our hearts. So Paul said that you got to keep God's way, but it has to be in sincerity and in truth. It can't be something hidden. You can't plan, canard, and plot, and think you can be in the truth. Amen. Let's go to Genesis chapter 39. Genesis chapter 39. We're dealing with the truth. Not hidden parts. Not compromising. Genesis 39, we start from verse 1. Not with leaven or sin. He said, but the inward parts. Amen. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt to Potiphar, the officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard of Egyptian, brought him of the hand of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down. Ishmael was really his what? Isaac and who?
Ishmael.
So Ishmael was really his relative. Amen. So his relative brought him into the relative's home. No, we're not trying to mess with relatives. We're just letting what you know that. And the Lord was
with Joseph.
The reason that Joseph was in his weakness able to say he was strong was because God was with him. But then there were some character traits that were in Joseph that we all need to adopt. Years ago, when I used to have a hard time, I just read about Joseph. Because Joseph, as a young man, did no wrong. And if you were to peruse his life and really break it down, you would say, man, Joseph. Joseph had to mess up somewhere, right? All the stuff he went through, and he was only a young man, sold into slavery. When he was sold into slavery, how old was he? 17 years old. Right? So he had to do something somewhere. And then after he got in slavery, he messed up again and messed up again. No, he didn't. God was allowing him to be tested. God was trying to help work on Joseph to see an inner quality. Now remember, Joseph had already, let me come back to this one second. Joseph had already told his mother and father, the dream that God had given him. But Joseph believed God. Joseph went into Egypt, he was 17. How long did it take Joseph to go from, as they say, the pit to the palace? He was how old when he went and appeared before Pharaoh? 30 years old. 17. So you would think God for 13 years shaped Joseph. For 17 years, the devil tried to destroy Joseph's faith in God. But God knew there was something down in Joseph. There was something down in the inward part. There was something hidden. There was a hidden truth down in Joseph. And it was sincere. So it says Joseph, the laws of Joseph, he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that what? He saw that God was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And you would think that God is with him, all he's doing is prospering, so he should be able to get out of this bondage. But God still was not finished with me yet. Amen. Some say he's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. Amen. He's still working on me. And so then Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and he made him overseer over his house, and all that he had, he put in his hand. Verse 5, and it came to pass from that time that he made him overseer his house, and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian because of whom? Joseph saved. Now, if you really look at it, you would say, how can God be blessing him? He's still in bondage. He hasn't attained to the level that God has shown him in the dream, the vision, the prophecy that God gave him. But Joseph did not become weak. Joseph was still strong. And because Joseph's confidence in God, not man, because his own blood has sold him into slavery. And then his relatives bought him and sold him. He said, wow, everybody seemed like they against Joseph. But guess what? God was what? So God was with him. So whenever Joseph was involved with, God blessed that for whose sake? Joseph's sake. I'll go to the next verse. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not all he did, save the bread which he did eat. And David was, I mean, Joseph was a and well-favored. Amen. Joseph had the right attitude, he had the right spirit. Because Joseph's confidence was in God. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph and said, lie with me. But he refused and said unto his master's wife, behold, my master wanteth not what is with me in the house. In other words, nobody is keeping up with what I'm doing. Amen. Nobody is my overseer. I'm doing what's right. Amen. Because nobody has to watch me. And he has committed all that he had to my hand. He said, there is none greater in this house than I. Neither has he kept anything back from me but me. He said, even though I know Miss Potiphar, you're the boss. Amen. Miss Potiphar, I know you're in charge. Amen. But I still am answerable to God. Wherever we go, whatever situation we're in, we're still answerable to God. He said, but thee, because thou art his. He said, now, what you're trying to get me to do, that's not how I was raised. Amen. I was raised to honor my God and to keep him first. He said, so how then can I do this great wickedness and what? Who would have known? Nobody else would have known. So why did Joseph yield? Because he had truth in me and in parts. Joseph was sincere. And Joseph trusted God. There are many times in our work relationships, because it's the boss, they were trying to get us to do the wrong thing. But in our minds, we say, if I don't do it, I might lose my job. So God, I'm going to do it and ask you to forgive me. No, no, no. God has to be number one. Amen. Joseph was really subordinate to Potiphar's wife. He did everything, but he would not sin. Whatever situation we're in, amen, we cannot sin. No matter who's the boss, no matter who's in charge, amen, no matter where you go, I don't care what it is, you cannot sin. Joseph said, how can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? What the truth was where? Down on the inside. Well, no one would have ever known if he did, but God. We can't hide from God. And I'm going to just refer to this. In the book of Exodus chapter 32, verse 23, the children of Israel were about to go into the land of conquest, and Gad and Reuben decided that they wanted to stay back on the other side. And Moses initially thought they wanted to stay back and shirk the responsibility of helping get into the land of promise. So Moses said, why would you want to do so wickedly? And they went on to explain, well, no, Moses, we have cattle. This is more suitable for us. They said, no, we will still go on and fight with our brothers. We'll leave our family. We'll fight the war with them until they get their land of conquest as well. Moses said, okay, now you're saying this, but how do I really know you're going to do it? So he goes on to verse 23. He tells them, he said, go ahead and do this. He said, but if you get what you want, and then later change your mind, know ye this, your sins will find you out. Hallelujah. You can't play with God. You can't hide from God. He said, you know, you're saying all the right stuff. And Moses said, now don't allow your brothers to fight. And you sit here in your comfortable building. Comfortability. Y'all don't understand. I mean, all comfortable. Listen to me. That's why you guys will have a Tyson Morris man. Listen, right? Just be comfortable, right? Amen. You say you all want to sit there and just be comfortable and you don't want to have to fight. God has made us a promise. But they said, no, Moses, we just don't. We want to do this. Moses said, okay, I'm going to grant you your request, providing there's no hidden agendas. Providing that you really are going to fight. And a little early in the chapter, he'd go over them making vows and not keeping it. So he said, well, know this, if you don't do it, if you open your mouth to God and you don't do it, he said, be assured of this one thing, your sins will. Joseph understood that principle. So even though he could have sinned to please his boss, he said, I cannot do this wickedness in the sight of God. And in the church community today, people are just losing their godly minds to gain popularity. I'd rather be a nothing and a nobody to please God than be high-minded and sin against God. I'd rather be lonely and nothing to please God than have to compromise and sin to get to what I need to be. It should be in sincerity and in truth. Because whatever we do, wherever we go, the Word of God says our past, our problems, our fault will what?
Find us out.
Let's go to Joshua chapter 7. Joshua chapter 7. There's sometimes we engage in the war and in the battle, but we don't do it according to sincerity and in truth. That sometimes we engage in God's work. Well, in essence, we have another agenda. It's not the agenda of God. Because in our weakness, you can never do it in strength. In our weakness, we think we can do things and hide and do stuff that God will never see nor know. But God says, not so. Amen. We all know in Joshua chapter 7, this was the principle that Paul taught in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. One little lump. And one little lump of leaven can leaven the what? Whole lump. One portion of indiscretion of sin can affect everybody. Amen? Then when the children of Israel committed a trespass in their cursed thing, for Achan the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took up, God said, don't do certain things. God had already told him. And we're dealing with sincerity and in truth. There are some issues when we're in the war fighting that only God will see. Leadership, wherever they be, wherever they might be, will never see it. But God sees all. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against. Wait a minute. Who committed the sin? Right? Who committed the sin? Well, where's God man at? Israel. Because a little leaven will do what? Leaven the whole lump. So God did not get man and Achan alone. That's why it's time for the weak to say amen. We no longer want to be the weakest link. Amen. If the church is not prospering and doing what they want to do because of me, it's time for me to clean it up myself. Amen. So it says, and Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai. Go to the next verse. And they returned to Joshua. They had just conquered Jericho. And they came with the Ai. They said, oh, this is just Moses. Just keep most of the people back. We don't need them. Most of the men back. We don't need them to fight. They're small. We're just, just like we beat them, beat Jericho, we'll destroy this place. We'll annihilate them, Moses. We only need a couple thousand men. You keep the rest back. But what they didn't realize, that God's anger was against them. Because of one person. Amen. Verse 4. So there went up thither of the people about 3,000 men, and to their amazement, they should have been victorious, but there was no truth. There was some sincerity, there was mission. They fled before the men of Ai. And the men of Ai spoke them about 36 men, for they chased them before the gate even to Shebarim, and smote them in the going down, where the hearts of the people, they got weak. They got weak. Israel got weak because God did not give them victory because of one person. That little leaven, that little sin, that little iniquity is the what? Whole lot. And Joshua went his clothes and fell on the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord until the eventide, he and the elders of Israel, and put dust upon their head. They were in mourning. They were shocked. They couldn't figure out what was going on. It happened in your life sometimes. I'm shocked. I know I was supposed to get that victory, Lord. What happened? Amen. And Joshua said, alas, O Lord God, wherefore hast thou and all brought this people over Jordan to deliver us into the hands of the Amorites to destroy us? Would to God we had been content and dwelt. Joshua wasn't aware that there was some stuff that was wrong. Amen? Verse 8 reads, O Lord, what shall I say when Israel turneth their backs? When Israel act like a bunch of cowards? When Israel no longer wants to engage in the war, turn their backs before their enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land shall hear of it, and shall environ around us, and cut off thy name from the earth. And what wilt thou do unto thy name? We always represent God's grace and great name. Amen? No matter what you are, what you do. And the Lord said unto Joshua, Joshua, you being weak right now. Joshua, what are you doing laying down? He said, get up. He said, you know what? It's time to be strong. He said, it's no longer time to be laying down, feeling sorry and crying. He said, get up and be a man. Stand up on your feet. He said, what are you doing lying down on your face? The problem is that Israel, who knew it? Only God knew it. And Achan. He says, not Achan that sinned, but who sinned? Why? Because a little leaven with leaven. Israel has sinned, and they have transgressed my covenant which I commanded them, for they have even taken, God said, the very thing. And that's why we have to always have to live a clear conscience and pure heart before God. The very thing that I told Israel not to do. They went against me and did it anyway. So they took, they're taking up their cursed thing and have also stolen and disassembled also, and they have put it even. God is speaking in the what? Plural. But who did it? Yeah, amen? Why? Because a little leaven. Well, leaven the what? So God cannot isolate Achan from the rest of Israel. Amen. As a result of Achan's sin, all Israel suffered. Therefore, the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies because they were, God was not blessing them. Neither will I be up, sanctify the people, say, and say, sanctify yourself. You know, God said it's time to get them right. It's time to consecrate or reconsecrate Israel back to me. Verse 14. Verse 15. I'll go to 16. So Joshua rose up early in the morning. This is after God had told him, he said, now what? It's time to get Israel back on the right spiritual path. They messed up. He said, now I want you to sanctify, consecrate them, set them apart so that we can clean up what's wrong. He said, they, but how many was it? One person. That's why we must not be the what? Weakest link. Amen? So Joshua rose up early in the morning and brought Israel by their tribes and by the tribe of Judah, and the tribe of Judah was taken. He brought the family of Judah and took the family of the Zorahites, and brought the family of the Zorahites man by man, and Zabdi was taken. And he brought his household by man, and Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, was taken. And Joshua said unto Joshua was leadership, but Joshua did not know. But who knew? God did. He said, my son, give, I pray thee. In other words, he said, you out there. You can't, huh? He said, now give glory to God and make confession unto him. And tell me now what thou hast done, Joshua. God didn't tell Joshua. Achan had to get it right. He said, hide it not from me. And Achan answered Joshua and said, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel. Who sinned? Achan. But God said, who? All Israel is guilty. And thus have I done. When I saw upon the spoils a goodly Babylonian garment, and 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels, then I was greedy for them. I coveted them, and took them, and behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent, and the silver. God was angry because one person did what God said to not do. There was no sincerity. There was no truth. That's why the scripture said, God seeth not as. Nobody saw Achan in the tent. Nobody knew that Achan had taken the Babylonian garment, the silver, and the gold, and that he's what? Hidden. But who knew? God knew. Amen? So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran unto the tent, and behold, it was hid in his tent, and the silver under it. And they took them out of the midst of the tent, and brought them to Joshua, and unto the children of Israel, and laid them out before the Lord. And Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan the son of Zerah, and the stuff that he took. And I said, what that valuable? No, God said, don't touch it. Amen. Though it may be of value to somebody else, God said, I don't want you to touch it. Amen. So even though it has value, God said, I don't want the accursed thing. Amen. I don't want you doing what I said don't do and to get involved with stuff that's going to take you away from me. So he said, the silver, the garment, and the wedge of gold, and his sons, and his daughters, and his oxen, and his donkeys, and his sheep, and his tent, and all they had, and they brought them out unto the valley of, it means the valley of trouble. It was named actually after Achan. Why? Because he had sinned. And Joshua said, why hast thou? How many people have done? Just one. That's why we can no longer be the weakest link. It's time to clean up the stuff that's not clean. It's time to get right the stuff that's not on the inward part right. Not the outward part, it's time to get the inward part. Because God seeth not as no man knew what Achan had done, but God. The Lord shall trouble thee this day, and all Israel stone them with stone, and burn them with the fire after they had stoned them with stones. Amen. We get the message. But now, in one other verse we're going to go over, you can't hide from God. When God says, don't do it, you do anyway, God holds you responsible and accountable. And until you get it right, amen, you could be the weakest link. We must purpose in Christ. I must do it with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. If nobody else sees me, I'm a Joseph in Potiphar's house. It's just me, but it's my boss's wife. I cannot do this great wickedness and sin against God. Sincerity is our relationship with God should always be open. Amen. We must keep it clean. All right, let's go to Numbers chapter 12. Nobody knows but God. But God holds us all accountable for one person's error. It's not in the case of the Corinthians where everybody knew it and didn't do anything. This was a case where they did not know. But God didn't say Achan has sinned. He says Israel has sinned. Verse 1 reads, and Miriam and Aaron spake against. Now, did Moses know it? Who knew it? God, Moses, and, God, Aaron, and who? Miriam. Because he had married an Ethiopian woman whom he had, for he had married an Ethiopian woman. In other words, he was a Jew, but he married an African woman. All right, so they started speaking against him. And they said, has the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? The problem wasn't the marriage. This is the real issue right here. They said, oh, God don't just speak to such and such, he speaks to us too. So the real issue was who he married. The real issue was they were in rivalry or they were competing against Moses. Had not he spoken also? I'm lifting myself up. We don't have to just wait for God to speak to Moses only. And the Lord, who heard it? God heard it. Nobody else knew but Aaron, Miriam, and God. Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. God knew that even if Moses knew, he wasn't going to do anything about it. And the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses and to Aaron and to Miriam, come out ye three unto the tabernacle of the congregation. And they three came out. And the Lord came down in a pillar of cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came forth. I'm sure at this time they thought they had hid, and that God didn't know. So they had already said, God doesn't only speak to Moses. You see, Moses, we're going to show you. God is now speaking to us. You're not the big top spiritual honcho in the house. Because God speaks to us also. And he said, hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I the Lord will make myself known unto him in a vision, and will speak unto him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in God just wants faithfulness. If you purpose not to be the weakest link, you'll be faithful. But with him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently and not in dark speeches. And the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore then were ye not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? And the angel of the Lord was kept against them, and he departed. At that point, when they heard this, you know, because they were already so set that they were just as good as Moses, and who's Moses, and God speaks to us also. When God's anger was kindled, I was like, oh Lord, please forgive me. Lord, have mercy on me. Amen. But they waited for God to go. Amen. They didn't do anything. They didn't try to get it right because they were lifted up in themselves. And they so what's Moses? They don't care about Moses. Yeah. God speaks to us too. They had God's attention, but they refused to submit. And the cloud departed from the tabernacle, and behold, now when they got a little bit of trouble, they figured, well, obviously we must have done something wrong. Miriam became leprous, white as snow, and Aaron looked upon Miriam, and behold, she was leprous. And Aaron said unto Moses, alas, my Lord, I beseech thee. Why did you have to wait till you get in all that trouble to realize that I don't want this sin to lay upon us? You had God's attention. God was speaking to you. God already told you he was angry and knew you did something wrong. Why did you just get it right?
Right?
Amen? He said, let nothing sin upon us when we have done. Why did you have to wait for the trouble? Couldn't you have gotten it right before all of this? And when we have sinned, let her not be as one dead, of whom the flesh is half consumed when he cometh out of his mother's womb. And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, heal her now, O God, I beseech thee. And the Lord said unto Moses, if her father had but spit in her face, should she not be ashamed? Let her be shut out from the camp 7 days, and after that let her be received in again. And Mary was shut out from the camp, but it didn't just affect Mary. Because a little leaven will leaven the whole lump. It says, and the people journeyed not, they were stagnant. They couldn't move because Mary hid what she done. And though God had her attention and Aaron's attention, instead of confessing then, they waited until trouble got worse. We don't want to be the weakest link and wait until things get worse. We want to change. One last scripture just came to my mind. Let me make sure this is the right scripture. So pause it for a minute. I don't want y'all to laugh at me if I'm wrong. See, Justin laughed already. hold on one second. I think it's right. Unless, hold on. I'm pretty sure it's right. But let me just make sure. Are you laughing too? So what happened when you got family? All right, yeah, 59 verse 1. This is what we're going to say. Isaiah 59 verse 1. In closing, we want to be clean before God. Oh, man. Oh, that's another scripture. I can't use that right now. All right, I'm going to try to rush through this real fast. Isaiah 59 verse 1. It says, behold, the Lord's hand is not short that he cannot save, neither is his ear heavy that he cannot hear. So God can deliver you, God can hear. But not if you have this issue. Amen. We don't want to be the one, we can swing. So he said, but your iniquities have separated between. Not you and your friends, not you and your neighbors, not you and the saints in the church, but your sin, your iniquity, is separated between you and God. Tonight, we just want to be clean in God's eyes. Amen? And your sins have hid his face that he will. It's important. If we're going to be strong, if we don't want to be weak, we have to make it right first with God. Now, in closing, Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. Purpose that I will not be the weakest. Hebrews chapter 4. I will not be the weakest link. Amen? Hebrews chapter 4. And for the sake of time, I'm not going to read everything, but I'm going to read. Actually, this is one of the other messages I prepared, but it wasn't given to me to use tonight, so we only use. We'll start at verse 12. All right? We'll start at verse 11. The only thing that stops us from doing what's right before God is unbelief. The children of Israel journeyed in the wilderness for 40 years because of. God said he was going to do something and could do it, but they doubted because of the report of the 10 spies. So since they doubted and did not believe, God said, okay, everyone for 20 years old upper will not go any further. He said, you're going to stay right here until every last one of your carcass die in the wilderness. So let us labor therefore to enter in that. We want to make it to glory. Let any man fall after the same example of what? Unbelief. For the word of God is quick and powerful and is able to work with precision in your circumstances. Sharpening any two-edged sword, meaning God's word is like a surgeon's knife. Of the top surgeon, he can work with precision. The word of God can be in here, and we can all have issues, but precision, if God goes directly to you, and he does not make it ambiguous, and you are not confused and not know, but he is precise. Amen? Lord, we'll teach this next time. But it says, then any two-edged sword, piercing even to the divine asunder of what? Who can separate the soul and spirit but God? He said, all souls of mine, the soul of sinners shall die. He said that when we die, the spirit goes back to him. No man can do this. Only God has the precision life to separate the soul and spirit. You can't do it, and I can't do it. Now, when the spirit is separated from the soul, that body no longer has life. Who can do it? Only God and his word. Piercing even to the divine asunder of soul and the joint and the mind. Amen? Only God's word can do it. He said, now there are some situations in all of our lives. It takes a spirit for you to become a living soul. You take away the marrow and that bone is nothing more than a skeleton. Only God has the precision to separate the life from the body. Amen. How does he do it? Through his word. And it is a discerner of only God and his word. In other words, it says God helps you to see you for what you really are through his word. I can say, oh no, you can't see yourself because God's precision cannot separate and divide. It cannot affect you like it should be, because only God's word can discern the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Why? Verse 13 says, neither is there any creature that is not God sees, and God knows all. Nothing. I don't care where you go. Somebody said, well, I dug 100 miles down, I was in a tomb, I came all by myself. God still sees. He said, neither is there any creature that is not manifest, but all as we stand. Not some things, but what? All things are naked and open unto the eyes of him to whom we have to give an account. In other words, what they're saying, you can't hide anything from God. He sees, he knows. There's nothing that's hidden from his eyes. Only God can separate the joint and the marrow and the soul and the spirit. And then after God separates all that, he said, you know what, I know what's on your mind. And you know what, brother, sister, whoever you are, I know what you're intending to do. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to reveal, as the ministers come forward, I'm going to reveal this to you in advance so my word can shape you, mold you, and help you come to God. God said he's going to reveal the intents and the contents of your heart. Tonight, we don't want to be the weakest link. We don't want to be the one to hold everything up. God has a divine purpose and plan. Don't let him be here by what kind of design? Divine design. Can I borrow a little bit? We're here, God has a purpose. Whatever you do, don't think you can hide from God. He said, all things are open. There's nothing hidden. God sees it. God knows it all. The reason that a lot of our prayers have not been answered, He said, our sins and our iniquity are separated from our God, and He closed His ears unto our prayer. The sacrifices of God are broken heart, are broken in a contrite spirit. Oh God, thou wilt not despise. Lord, I want to be right. Lord, I want to be good. I can't do it my way. I don't do it as I yield unto God. Tonight, you don't want to be the one. We can make in Jesus' name.
We can all just close our eyes, focus in on ourselves, as the Word of God has come forth.